And once again, I'm an addict for life, and my name is Andrew. At this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker. Had very few minutes to speak with him today, but I'm very interested in learning more about both of these folks here and more about the history of NA. And our first speaker is from the Rock Creek area, and his name is Chris Kay.
Hi, everyone. I am an addict. My name's Chris. Narcotics Anonymous saved my life, and I've stayed clean since December 28th, 1983. And when I left public information, I gave all my boxes of files to Lynn. I don't know if she remembers that. Adam gave us like 50 of these little books, which is the first piece of NA literature from 1956, I believe. And the night before doing this workshop, I got a document that's 385 pages, where three members have worked 2 years on our history. So if you really need to know about the history of NA, you can go to williamwhite.com and find that document. So I gave some handouts out so I don't have to go over the history. I'm just going to talk about from my own experience, May 25th, 1983, NA, Baltimore, Maryland, or Towson, Maryland. And there was a Narcotics Anonymous group, the Honesty, Open-Mindedness, and Willingness group, the HOW group, and a hospital for the criminally insane. That's where I got my exposure to Narcotics Anonymous. I was very afraid to learn that there was this program for people who didn't take any drugs at all. I didn't want to know about it, but I was kind of forced. And luckily for me, I got clean, and I think, you know, there was very few meetings at the time, like on a little card, but it was solid NA and people who cared. And if you were a member in the meeting, everyone reached out to you. Nobody fell through the cracks. Everybody was important. And it was a life and death thing, and you learned that it was a life and death thing. And I think some members had come back from the second East Coast Convention, or the third East Coast Convention, and they're very energized about Narcotics Anonymous. And I eventually, you know, went to York, Pennsylvania. There was only two NA meetings, and that's where I felt comfortable. That's where I felt I could let it all hang out. Then I went to the World Convention in New York City, which, you know, the energy, you know, you were like in another world about if an addict can get clean in New York City, they can get clean anywhere. And, you know, the addicts in New York City were so proud, and, you know, they kind of dope fiended the convention as if they had the mayor's authorization to have the convention there. They didn't really have it, but they said they had it. And the convention happened there at the World Trade Center, and it was you know, on the East Coast of the United States, and it was just so important. So if you went to that convention, you were going to go to the World Convention forever after that. And anyway, I relapsed after that World Convention and, you know, stayed using for about a month, 2 months on Thanksgiving weekend. Then I got clean on December 28th. And I was already involved in NA service. I was on the DC Link, the first newsletter of Washington, DC, the first issue, and I was on that committee. They let me be on that committee with 0 days clean. And, you know, so somehow I got involved in service very early. When I went to the World Convention in New York, they put me selling first edition basic texts and Jimmy Kay and Junkie Priest tapes because I didn't have a banquet ticket. So I was there selling these items. I didn't know how important the first edition was. But when I was in the halfway house, I ordered my book from the World Service Office. I got a second edition. And came in the mail. I was the only one at the halfway house that had an NA book. And, you know, I read the book, and it was my story. As I said, I'm not really talking about the history of NA. I'm just talking about my own experience. As I said, that these people have produced this 385-page document that's just amazing about NA facts. Like, you know, NA started the Salvation Army Harbor Lights program and an institution, and it may not be the NA we know today, but it was addicts using the 12 steps. They even had 13 steps. The 13th step was God help me. It had nothing to do with sex or anything. It was just like, you know, after we've had the spiritual awakening, we really know we have this life-threatening disease, and it's a grace and a miracle that we're clean. Then, you know, I moved to D.C., where I'm from, and I was still attached to Baltimore N.A., and we had, they had come back from, we all went to Connecticut for the Jail to Yale convention, East Coast convention, which is supposed to be cheap in a college campus so more people could attend. And then Baltimore wanted to have the East Coast, and I got on that committee, and I met Stuart selling t-shirts, and we won the bid. We had the East Coast convention at Towson State, and having these conventions, the fellowship was actually doubling in size every year because of the basic text. Just because of the basic text, solid NA, something you can believe in, program that works for addicts, and every year NA doubled from 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 40,000, 80,000, 200,000, and it did that all the way up until like 1990, I think. And then Washington, D.C., we went to Chicago to get the bid for the World Convention, and we worked really hard for the whole year. I personally wrote Nancy Reagan to get her endorsement for our convention, and she said that, you know, she couldn't really have an opinion about addicts, you know, and she did the whole just say no thing, but she couldn't have an opinion about us. I had a connection at the White House, and they gave her my letter, and she said no. But we won the bid. We won the bid. You know, it was almost a unanimous vote for us in Chicago to have the convention in D.C. because we had the largest population of African-American addicts in the country. And, you know, our theme was unified and staying alive, no jive. We didn't have the no jive part, but it was unified and staying alive because we are a very separate fellowship. And and with the rest of NA, we were doing our own thing. We had the World Convention, and then NA exploded in Baltimore from the 6 East Coast. And I think even NA in Baltimore is like 5 times the size of NA in D.C. But I don't know if they have more heroin or they're just more service junkies or whatever. Baltimore is huge. You know, as I said, the World Convention, then it went to London. You know, everybody was sympathetic to the addicts in London, and they won. That's how you'd have the World Conventions. The fellowships would try to put on the best convention, and you would vote for it, and it would go to the next place, but you had to be at the World Convention to vote. There was a lot of politicking, you know, people giving away buttons and T-shirts and trying to get you to vote for them. But as I said, the fellowship was doubling in size. We were getting a clearer message. Everyone in NA was involved in service. Every single person was involved in service. You had to have a service position, or you weren't going to stay clean, or there was so much peer pressure that you had to be in service, or you weren't working a program. Then Unity Weekend in 1985, before the World Convention, we had our first little convention in D.C., and we had the Purist Movement started there. And it was really a joke. It was started out as a joke. We were just having a lot of fun, and we made these qualifications on what it makes to be an NA member. A lot of people took it very serious, and a lot of people were very offended by it. But those members took it to the most extreme that it turned off a lot of people, but it also made a lot of people realize how important the traditions were. And without the traditions, you don't really have NA. The group will die, members will die. You don't believe in the message that any addict can get clean and stay clean. And, groups in D.C. would close with the Lord's Prayer. And then we had people starting different kind of special interest groups. And now, it's as if a group is autonomous. It can do whatever it wants. Nobody can tell the group how you close or if you want to be a biker meeting or you want to be a men's meeting. It's up to those people to support that group. It shouldn't be an area or anybody else to tell what a group of people can't do or can do. So as I said, after the World Convention in D.C., a lot of people became aware of the 12 traditions of NA and how important it was, to abide by the traditions. I mean, we had fundraisers, and the oldest meeting in Washington, D.C. had to be taken off the meeting list. The first NA meeting in D.C., the Venata NA meeting on Friday night, where most of the members in D.C. got clean, had to be taken off the meeting list because they were their own separate entity, keeping the own money for themselves, having their own speakers, not letting people in the program share. And it was heartbreaking for a lot of members because that's where they got clean. So that meeting got taken off the meeting list. It was like a splitting event in the area service. And I still think there might be a meeting there on Friday nights. Then World Convention, things were exploding. And NA was exploding everywhere. I went to the first Narcotics Anonymous meeting in Greece. And it was a meeting that's two nights a week. And the other night of the week was another fellowship meeting. And I had got my information wrong. And so I got upset when I went to the wrong meeting. And I put a white book on the front door. And the guy told me, no, we're going to start it next Thursday. That was the first meeting, and it took them, like 5 years before NA exploded in Greece, until people made a commitment to NA and use NA literature and translate the literature. So as I said, in my early days, I went to NA every day for probably 15 years. And then every month, I was at a convention somewhere. And you didn't have to have money to go to convention. You could go into the banquet through the kitchen. No one would stop you. You sleep on somebody's floor. You don't really need money to go to conventions. If you want to be there, you can be there. It's not like you can't be there. I went to NA conventions in Tennessee, Pennsylvania, New York, Ohio, Tennessee, Florida. Anywhere I could drive to. And it was like, you go to a convention for the weekend, it's very safe. It's just, you think everybody in the world is in NA, and you're focusing on recovery for the whole weekend. And you're just totally free and safe. And I think the conventions may not be NA, but they're very important for NA because I know for newer members, to see this many people clean, happy, friendly, loving, caring, it's the safest place to be. Even for using addicts, it's the safest place to be. Back to the history and stuff like that. Now, we're at a strange time in NA where people may think NA is too large to abide by the traditions, or a few people know what's best for everybody, and my personal opinion, this is my own opinion, is it's really your home group. That's the most important thing, and NA will never die if you have a strong home group. I can say that 75% of my home group is in this room tonight. We're a very small group. We're only about 9 or 10 people. But we read the first NA book before it became a basic text called The Gray Form. And it's a very raw message, but it's as if you're reading the basic text that hasn't been edited. And so it's just like somebody sharing in a group. It's a pure spiritual book, because those of us who wrote the book, I wasn't anyone who wrote the book, but those people who wrote the book were writing the book to save addicts and to share their experience, unfiltered, biased, pure, true message. And people who come to our book are like, what is this book? This is an amazing book. Why don't I see this book elsewhere? And then people who've never been to our group are like, that's a renegade group, or they're not allowed to use that book, or that's a history group, or whatever it is. And you know, why trash a group unless you go there and participate? So I don't know how long I'm talking here for, but as I said, there's an amazing document, 385 pages, of three members who've compiled the history of NA, and now they're going to work on part two. If you want to know the exact details of the history, what year, what, whenever anything happened, it's there. Some of these handouts are misinformation, because I got them from Greg P., 20 years ago. And as Stuart says, some of the dates are wrong, but that's how history is. You may learn something later down the road. And that's what's great about history, is eventually the truth comes out about what it is and what happened. And some of these people, you know, they're unbiased, and they document the history according to facts. So that's my little spiel on history. It's being made every day. It's your home group is the most important thing. Be very active in your home group. Other groups will grow from that group. I can share that I've started maybe 20 meetings, 10 of them have died. Even if you're just sitting there alone in the group, eventually that group doesn't need to exist because no one's coming. But if you have a group that you love, it's very important that you keep it, your home group, and the traditions. With the traditions, you have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about, and you're working the steps, and you have the traditions, your group's going to be fine. It doesn't matter if they come out with a book that says you can take some kind of pills or, you know, the original literature is still so important, because that's how NA grew to be these thousands and thousands of meetings. It's from any addict can get clean and stay clean and find a new way to live. That's evident in that very first book, that little yellow book that some of you have. I think the last thing in it, it says, you know, there's a question, am I going to be okay, or something like that, and it says, no, you're not going to be okay, because we have a disease which we have no control over, you know. That's the truth of the matter. We don't know who's going to stay clean, but we do know that there are addicts staying clean, and these groups are growing, and each group is autonomous. You know, that's how we stay clean, is when no one tells us how our group should be. We make the best home group we can to carry the message. Thanks for letting me share.
Once again, I'm an addict for life, and my name is Andrew. Thank you very much to Chris Kay. Thank you, everybody, for being here again today at the convention. The second speaker today is from the D.C. area, and her name is Lynn.
My name is Lynn. Hi, everybody. Thank you, Chris. I love you, Chris. Okay, I'm very happy that so many of us are interested in the history of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm very proud that our region consistently has a history meeting, because there are some conventions that I attend that don't have a history meeting, and I'm always disappointed. My clean date is August 4th, 1990. I came into Narcotics Anonymous in 1988 through a locked psychiatric unit, and I sponsored myself in and out of more treatment centers and more psychiatric units until finally I surrendered. 2 years of sponsoring myself was enough.